I'm Bíreann Garrahy, and you're listening to The Laughs of Your Life, the podcast where I talk to influential people about laughter, from their first memories of laughter to feeling laughed at to a time where they had the last laugh.
Like we talk about this weekend that I just had, or like last week where maybe I wasn't in a great mindset and I was feeling like very, very low. And to just kind of wake up today and be able to do stuff like this and get up and eat treadies and go home, and I'm going to record the podcast with Bree later, just to have that and be like, there's been so many times where you felt like that and you're still here and you're still just fulfilling what it is you want to do, and it never got that bad. Like you were, like you're fine.
Writer and podcaster Fionnuala Jones is my guest this week. She talks to me about the knicker dance that got her into trouble in junior infants, dealing with being made redundant not once but twice before the age of 24, and her very different take on having the last laugh. I hope you enjoy. Fionnuala Jones, you are extremely welcome to The Laughs of Your Life.
Thank you so much, Darren. I'm so excited. I'm so nervous.
I'm laughing already. I just know we're going to have a bloody laugh. I had to ask you what your surname was, because all I could find was Fionnuala J everywhere.
It's a Simpsons reference. Do you know when Homer goes to try and find out who he is and he doesn't know what the J in his name stands for? And then he goes to the mural and it's just, oh, I'm Homer. And then he pushes back the bush and it's J, but it's J-A-Y, as if that's revealed something magical about him. It was that, basically.
I was not a Simpsons fan, so I don't understand.
That's wasted on you, but the listeners, they're eating this up. They're like, yes, love that, Fionnuala.
They're loving it. Okay, shall we get started? Actually, what should I, and I don't mean to give you like,
what do I do?
Career anxiety. Yeah, because my sister Aveen acts. And that's the, she's like, I used to just get crippling moments of, like, you know, when you'd be between jobs. And if anyone asks what you do, and she'd be like, oh, yeah, no, there's like something in the pipeline. And there could be, but you just get so, like,
so many exciting projects in the works, guys.
Stay tuned.
Can't reveal too much yet. I have no idea what I'm doing.
You do.
I'm a qualified journalist. Yes. I'm not working in journalism very much at the minute now.
Okay, but you're going with the flow.
I'm going with the flow, yeah. Kind of doing some internet bits, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. Doing a lot of content creation, in inverted commas. So, I'm very much between jobs, but just going with the flow. As you said, it's been a bit of a mad year. So,
and you have your own podcast.
I do have my own podcast. Sorry, I always forget that. Yeah, so I'm co-host and co-producer of Bandwagons with my good friend Bree Brown. So
that's
taking up a lot of our time at the minute, and it's very enjoyable.
So you're busy.
We're busy.
Good.
Busy doing my bits.
Good. That's the plugs out of the way. Let's carry on. Fionnuala Jones, your first memory of laughter.
This was, when I was trying to think about this, I was like, at first I thought it was like maybe Barney or something, because I was Barney obsessed as a child. But then the very first thing that I can remember really clearly was we had these stairs with like gaps in them.
Yeah.
And I remember running up and down them with my brother, who was like five years older. He wasn't 5 years older at the time. He's still 5 years older. That's how time and age works. And I remember we were doing some kind of like chasing or like peekaboo kind of game. And I remember absolutely like ripping my whole laughing, because it was at a time where we were at such awkward ages between each other that we kind of didn't really get on, and he kind of hated me. Fair enough, because I used to, this is something that he holds against me. He had a Game Boy and I used to play it, and he had Pokemon Red, and he got as far as the Pokemon League, and then I reset the game before he could. Yeah.
Okay.
If he's listening right now, he's the PTSD. Like, he's like, Kill Bill siren in his head.
That's the most little sister story I've ever heard.
I was a wagon, like absolute, excuse the pun. Like I was such a brat, and it was just, I remember it being one of those times where we were really getting on and really having fun, because I look up to him so much, and I did at the time as well. And I was just like, you know, all the little sisters were just like, I just want to impress you, and I want you to think that I'm funny and have the crack together. And we really did, even though like I don't remember what kind of game we were playing, but we were some kind of hideout thing where we were on the landing and we had to like confer with each other. And we were running around, and I was like, this is the best crack ever.
Was it just the two of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my older sister had nothing to do with the two of us either. She was like, get away from me, you two freaks.
Oh, so you have an older sister?
Yeah.
Then
so
him.
So it's me. Ian is, how old am I?
Older.
I'm 24. So he's 30 next year.
You're 24?
Yeah.
Oh, Fionnuala, stop. Oh my God. You're joking.
I'm a child.
You are a child. Oh my God, I fully thought you were older. Not that you look it, you seem it.
Oh, thanks, skincare.
And so when I was talking to Greg O'Shea there a few minutes ago, we were having the chat about Love Island, and I was like, I was 24, was only a baby. You were like, only a baby.
Because I'm only a baby.
You are only a baby.
A big fully grown child, like just wandering around the streets.
So Ian, 5 years older.
Ian's 5 years older, and then my sister is 7 years older than me. So
it's so true. I'm the youngest of three as well, three girls. And it's so true. You say you just wanted them to think you were cool.
Oh, my childhood was just spent me trying to impress them, me trying to be cool, and just completely wrecking their heads.
And like, do you think that's where you developed your humour from?
Everything from Ian and Niamh. Like, and it's kind of weird because Ian has the sense of humour where he's like really goofy. You know that sense of humour where it's just like you just making noises at each other for half an hour and it's hilarious. Yeah. We have that. And then my sister is really, really quick and really funny and really good at doing kind of like voices and mimicking people. So even half the expressions that I have now that people think are really funny, I end up rabbing off her.
Yeah, you stole them. Yeah,
yeah. Completely, like, yeah. Plagiarism. Sorry, Niamh.
So you got on well. Where, what county are you from?
Cork.
Is it Cork?
Yeah. My accent's kind of mellowed out. People are going to be listening and they're going to be like, no, it's not. When I go home or when I get like angry or very passionate about something, yeah, the Cork comes out.
Okay,
the Cork
gotcha.
Jumped out.
Okay.
Yeah, so I moved up to Dublin in 2013.
Okay.
And I've been here ever since.
Don't mean this in an offensive way. I don't know how to put this, but any guest I've had, I'll Google them and I can get a lot of information about them just on Wikipedia or wherever it might be. I couldn't get much on you.
I'm an enigma.
That's why, so I didn't, like, even know what county you're from.
You'll never get the second name. You'll never get the county. Just pure mystery. Like, this is why I was nervous. This is what I said. This is like, this is your life where everyone's just going to have all this information about me. But GDPR.
I don't want you to think I didn't do my research. I just simply couldn't find stuff.
Yeah, but that's when you asked me to do this, I was like, Darren, are you fucking all right? Because like, I'm not haven't done anything. Like, do you know what I mean?
No,
like, literally, if anyone's wondering, she DM'd me and she was like, Fira, will you come on the podcast? And I was like, are you taking the piss? Was my exact response, I think. And you were like, we'll have a laugh. And I was like, I'm sure we will. But
it's interesting people who are either funny or they have stories to tell. And like, it's set, first of all, you're hilarious because I follow you on Instagram. But also, I just can tell you of stories to tell.
Thanks.
And we have proved that thus far.
Yeah.
Shall we move along?
We shall.
Fionnuala, the first time you felt laughed at.
I can't believe I'm committing this to audio, but in junior infants, I just had this attitude where I just kind of wanted to, I knew I really wanted to stand out, and I loved obviously making people laugh and kind of impressing people. And I don't know how it started, but I basically started doing this thing called the knicker dance, which is basically, the clue's in the name, I would just lift up my skirt and just like kind of stamp around, and people in the yard would like laugh. And I was like, oh my God, lit, this is it, I found my calling. The Hustlers movie is actually based on me. So I was just like, I would do that. And then eventually, me and my sister were in the same school, I would have been junior infants, she was in sixth class. She found out and she was like, Nola, like, you need to actually actively stop doing this. You really weird child. And that's when I kind of realized that people were laughing at me and not
with you.
With me,
okay.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Oh, that, I think it's made me the person I am. You know what I mean?
You are.
Extremely body confident. Loves getting her bits out. No, it was because when I was thinking about it, I was like, God, is this embarrassing? And I was like, no, like, I was just a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand. And it's this thing of like, I think everyone draws. Everyone wants people to like them.
Yeah.
And when you're that young age as well, I suppose it's hard to tell when people are laughing at you or laughing with you.
Yes,
and
trying to gauge that.
Yeah, it's an odd one.
What was school like for you? What were you in the classroom?
I loved school. I like obsessed. I was absolute queen licker. I remember in fourth class we had these copy books where you would fill in like all the books you'd read and you do kind of like reviews on them, and nobody else was really arsed, or they'd do a few and then the teacher kind of forgot about them. Like, I was consistent. I filled out like two or three of them because I was obsessed with reading as well, and I like dedicated the book to my teacher, and I was like, to Miss Lane, who truly inspires me. Like, I was in fourth class. I didn't know what inspiration meant. Do you know what I mean? What it meant to be inspired. Like, oh my God. But I loved school. I really came into my own because I was really good at, had a really good memory.
Yeah.
And just really enjoyed learning. And I didn't really care about being like a swatter. And I was just obsessed. And I loved doing well. And just, yeah, I always really got on my teachers and I always felt they really encouraged me in terms of like my writing and kind of getting to where I wanted to be in terms of my goal and my dreams.
I think memory is such a massive part of humour. Would you agree? I know that sounds like a weird statement, but a lot of the time I will make jokes about things, like say to my sisters or whatever. I don't know, is this a weird thing to say or like is it stating the obvious? Like being able to draw on stuff that just happened that you remember, like moments, is so important.
Yeah, I always do that with like tweets as well. If yes. I'm out and about and doing something or if I can remember. And sometimes I think it's really sad that I'm like squirreling it around my notes. But then I'm just like, this is so funny. I just want to share this with other people. That's just this innate thing in me where I just want everyone to laugh and everyone to have fun and everyone to look at this thing that I found funny and be like, look, this is gas.
And on that actually, so Love Island is, we have to talk about Love Island because it's, is it your baby?
Yeah, it's a weird baby though. I don't know what, like, it was a baby that I'd probably contemplate leaving very regularly in the supermarket
really?
Every time it throws a tantrum.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, yeah. Gotcha.
It's an odd one, yeah.
Unofficially, you are kind of the Irish correspondent for Love Island.
Yeah.
You're committed while it's on, you're watching every night. If you're not, you're like, guys, I'm going to watch this and record. I'll be back to you tomorrow with my reviews. Did you get a massive reaction this year from people watching your stories?
Yeah, because of you. Like, it was fully because, so I did it last year, which would have been 2017. And I got a few thousand followers from it or whatever. I think I was on like just under 2K. And then when that series ended, it was like maybe 4 or 5-ish. I can't remember exactly. And it was mainly just people who I knew, kind of friends or like friends that I'd made online who were watching and you were like, this is gas and blah, blah, blah. And then this year came around and I was like, will I do it again? Like, I don't know. People seem to find it funny. And like, I found it funny and I didn't see it to be a massive commitment. So I was like, right, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And you gave me a shout out. And within like 2 or 3 episodes of this series, I'd hit 10,000 followers. And now I have 34,000.
Well,
but you sent it to me as well. You can see the analytics thing of people that click through my name.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was,
because that blew me away.
It was tapped. Like, how many was it? It was like 20,000 people just clicked through my name to be like, who the hell is this gal?
But you know what? I very rarely would shout people out. I just don't do it. I'm just like, I don't know. Because if you're shouting people out,
I'm the same though. I feel a bit weird about it. And then I feel like, what if I don't shout someone else out? And then I feel like it leaves room to make people feel bad.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm just going to not.
But also, for all you know, like, I could shout someone out and the following week, and like, because I think I've seen one thing they've done that's funny, and the following week they have a racist tweet up or something. And people are like, wait a second.
Darren is secondhand cancelled. Hate that.
Secondhand.
Not even direct, like, just cancelled.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I followed you for ages and like I just was like, you need to follow this girl for Love Island. And so I think A, because I rarely shout people out, I'd say people just were like, oh my God, she's shouting someone else. I'll have a look. But B, because the show is so massive.
Oh yeah, and especially with social media, it's one of those shows where I think people watch it with kind of one eye on it and the other eye on their phone.
Yes, exactly.
And then afterwards they're like turning to whoever they're watching it with or turning to their phone to being like, so what did everyone else think? Do they think the same thing as me?
But then word of mouth, like, I'm sure, say if you got, I don't know, you got to the 10,000 and then after that it was, oh my God, you have to follow this girl. She's gas. Were your DMs mad?
Yeah. Oh, like they still are a bit, but definitely not like, it's kind of interesting because I would share a view and then like you might have a majority agree and then you'll have people that won't.
Yeah. And would you ever get challenged?
Yeah, but I don't mind that as long as people are not sociopathic about it. Do you know what I mean? And
they're like,
they have some kind of manners. And it's like, hey, familiar, how are you? And we can have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
And in fairness, again, most people were really nice.
Yeah.
It was the times when, because obviously this year got way busier as well because we started doing the Love Island podcast. I started doing my Pot on Paper with Orla Condon. So it was, I was doing that 2 nights a week, then doing the stories like 6 nights a week and just trying to work and pretty much stay alive in between.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there were some nights where maybe I didn't get to it straight away, there were people who would genuinely message me being like, why aren't you on? I need to go to bed.
Stop.
And like 50% of them definitely were taking the piss. And then the other 50% were absolutely like, no, give me the content, bitch. Like, what are you doing? Like, what could you possibly be doing other than providing us with laughs?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
And that I kind of found hard. It was just like a pretty vast number. And if, like, I really try and pride myself on replying to everyone or at least acknowledging the messages. But it is, like, I'm sure you know yourself, like, it's very hard.
I used
like,
to always reply on Snapchat. First of all, because if you open it, they can see you.
They see it, yeah.
But secondly, because I genuinely wanted to. And if someone actually writes to you and is saying, do you want to write back? I've had to just put the foot down with Instagram. You can't.
It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. But it's just this thing in me where I feel bad.
I know.
Like, and again, I don't mind like having the discussion. And say if I've said something wrong, like they're very quick to be like, hey, this isn't right. And yeah. I can appreciate that as well. But yeah, there were some nights I could have had like anything up to 20 a night, specifically about Love Island. Yeah. And it's mad, but it is interesting. And I do love that kind of community feel that we have. Like, as I said, like I've made loads of friends from it and people that I be in touch with regularly, and they've gone on to like kind of support me in other ways.
Yeah.
Purely just from watching me talk shite about a reality show. Like it's really weird. And I can never explain it to someone who isn't interested in the show or social media or reality TV.
Yeah,
but like, it's bizarre, but I love it.
Did you then feel a little bit of a lull after Love Island? And was that... That's a weird feeling.
There was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks where I was having an internal crisis where, because I really don't want to take the Instagram thing too seriously, and I would never want to be someone that gets caught up in followers and whatever, because I just don't want to. And I understand that it's a bit silly, but it's hard not to be conscious of it then when you see the numbers drop or whatever. And I understand that because like my content's not for everyone. Like I don't follow a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a case of taste, but there was that thing where it's like, what purpose do I serve now? And there was this whole thing of, I was kind of getting a bit snotty being like, well, I'm so much more than Love Island and people aren't really recognizing that. And yeah. I don't want that to be my legacy and whatever. And then I had to kind of pull back and be like, hang on, there's nothing. You did very good work. Like, yeah. I mean, you got so many opportunities out of it. People really respect you. People think you're really funny.
Yeah.
It's no big thing. If people want to stay, they'll stay. If they don't, that's not on you.
But it's very hard to not take it personally.
It is really, really hard. Yeah.
Because, you know, when things are going well and the DMs are lovely, you take that personally, as in it gives you a lift personally.
Oh, it's that endorphin rush, yeah. Where you're like, okay, I need to keep doing this now. But I'm also a big thing of where I just don't want to post on social media for the sake of posting on social media. So it was kind of finding that, because some people were like, come on and talk about this show. And I was like, I don't really want to. And it was trying to also kind of separate that, because it's such a big time commitment as well. Like, I did not, like, I barely saw my boyfriend and my family. And yeah. My mom was like, please come home. And I was like, I can't. My people need me. No, but like, it was a massive time commitment. And there was a week where I was like, okay, I'm so thankful for this break. And then, to be honest, it was a case of, I was like, what am I going to do next? Because I was freelancing at the time. And It was pretty scary. I didn't know where I was going to get the money from or what I was going to do. It was, but things have kind of, we've kind of evened out now, and we're kind of back on balance.
More of a balance.
Yeah.
What I found interesting was yesterday I wrote to you to say, yeah, we're confirmed for tomorrow, whatever. And you wrote back and said, sorry, I was off Instagram for the weekend. What's that about?
God.
I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense to me.
I just had a bad week last week, and it was kind of just felt really ironic because it was like World Mental Health Day, and I was trying to think of, because everyone was posting something, and I was like, I don't know, should I post something? Because I don't know if it's, you're kind of cutting through the noise or whatever. Not that what other people had to say had less value, but I was like, how do I add value to this conversation? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could. And then I was just feeling like, really crappy, and I wasn't even getting really bad DMs. I really generally don't, like, people are generally very sound and I'm very thankful for it, but it's just I'm such a mindless scroller.
Yeah,
and I had to be, and I was going away for the weekend with my boyfriend. I had to be like, right, just get off it, just get off it for a while, because I can feel myself, and it's the same, it's that comparison thing where you're looking at people achieving things, and I hadn't had a great day in work, and I was thinking, what is the point, what am I doing, what is next, that whole thing of I don't know where I am. And I think so many people, I've realized now as I open up the conversation about it, that so many people are in a similar position, and I need to be more open about it and realize that I'm not on my own. But it's very hard, and I just wanted to be like, okay,
away from it,
yeah, let's just turn the lights off for a weekend and come back to it. And even when I found out, I came back on and I was like replying to messages, I was like, I'm still kind of in a bit of a foggy headspace. So it's trying to find that balance, I think,
of
because I love the app and I love watching people. I love influencers. I know I take the piss out of them. I know I kind of semi am one now at this point.
I have the same. You're talking about my life
here. It's so hard to. Yeah, absolutely. You get it where it's like, I was doing videos like taking the piss out of all these kind of silly things that people do, but like, and I think people see that now as they're like, well, you have swipe up now, you've no right to be being like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? But like but like, I love them. I eat it up. Like, I love it. I don't care what the content is. I don't care if it's food, makeup, kids. I don't even have kids. I don't even know I really like kids. I love watching, like, mommy bloggers, and they're, like, bringing their kids all over these places. I'm like, wow, you're amazing. I'd never do that. But, like, hook this to my vein, Sandra. I love it all. Like, I really, like, I have such an appreciation for it. It's really hard then when your job is to be online.
Yeah.
And when you're, even when your mental health probably isn't like fractious, it's a stressful place to be because there's just so much going on. It's so busy. You're looking at so many people. When you're not in a good headspace, it's not a place to be because it's just oversharing and just feeling bad, I think.
Preach it.
Preach it.
You're talking about my life. And I don't want to, I honestly don't want to sound patronizing because people do this to me all the time. And I'm like, go away. You are only 24.
But then it's so bad as well because isn't there an expression that it's like, oh, you haven't made it? I think it's applicable to the music industry kind of only, but apparently it's like if you haven't made it by the time you're 20, forget about
God's
it.
For God's sake, will you come off it? Look at Jessica Chastain.
Go on, Jess.
She was
legend.
Like hitting up on 40 until before she did The Help.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah.
Like, come
on,
no.
I know, but I suppose there's just a thing. I think with Ireland as well, because it's a much smaller industry and we don't know what way this whole internet, Instagram, buzz.
You just ride the wave.
Bubble. I know, and this is the thing as well, and I have to stop feeling bad about, like, I feel I'm kind of getting better at not feeling bad about doing SponCon.
Okay, let me just say this to you and put this out there. This actually feels like, it's, like, I can't believe this is actually, as
I'm
you say, so, committing this to audio.
I'm obsessed with this free therapy, to be honest.
But this is my advice to you, right? When I started out and started to get a following online, I was in the exact same position as you because I was doing impressions of people and blah, blah, blah. Started to gain a following. Brands started to get onto me and say, can we do this, this, this? And I was like, absolutely not. That is not what I'm about. No, 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 no to you, blah, blah, blah. And then one night my dad, I was in my kitchen and my dad sat me down and was like, so come here, Aveen tells me you're saying no to brands, you know, to work with them and make a few bob online. And I was like, yeah, no, Dad, that's just not my vibe. That's not my style. He was like, right, do you want a mortgage?
This is me. This is me in my head where now I'm like, okay, grand, integrity, fair enough.
But
would
you
like a house?
That.
Would you like a house though? Do you know what I mean?
But you can still do it.
Oh, absolutely.
For every 10
yeah.
brands that come to you, you say yes to one or two that you feel, first of all, that you can stand by. But second of all, never be afraid to push back. If they say, okay, here's the key messaging that we want you to say, you push back and say, oh, that's cool, yeah, I'm going to work that in my own way and in my own language in a way that suits me so that people aren't watching going, would this dope ever get a grip? Because is that good for you? No. Is it good for the brand? No.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I'm realizing that now where it's, if you're the kind of person that would begrudge anyone for making a few bob, like, fuck them. Why do you care about what they think? Like,
exactly.
Excuse my French, but exactly. Like, I mean, just do it. Like,
yeah.
Do your bits, get your bits. That's what I always say.
We should probably get back to the point of this, this podcast.
Meandering.
Okay. Fionnuala Jones, the moment when if you didn't laugh, you'd cry.
So myself and my boyfriend, Cian, are going out 3 years in January. But kind of early on in our relationship, he had kind of said, we were both working together and we both got made redundant. And kind of earlier on, he'd kind of had the idea that he was going to do a year abroad. And then we were kind of both studying the jobs. And I was like, yes, he's not going to leave. I've trapped him. And then we obviously both got made redundant and it was like, shit, he's going to leave. So he decided to do a year abroad in Canada. And I remember getting ready for his like going away drinks. And it was just, do you know when your makeup just doesn't go right? And I would like, and I was really bad at eyelashes at the time. I would like just put like glue pretty much just all over my eye. Cause I was like, I need to make sure that it doesn't fall off, but then I would be sealing my eyes shut. But it was, I had to basically restart my makeup again. And I just remember going into bed, like I had my full dress on my hair done, whatever. I remember just going into bed and being like, I can't be arsed going down and like talking to people.
Pretending you're okay with
pretending, it. Pretending, yeah, yeah. And like, I mean, we'd made the decision we were going to do long distance and whatever, but I mean, he was still going in like a week and a half or whatever. And it was all starting to feel very real. And as you said, I just wasn't arsed having the conversations with people where it was like, and geez, you're going to be very, you're going to miss him. And I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. Like, do you know, of course I'm going to miss him. Like, aww. So yeah. But I also just had to like, and I was crying and my housemate came in and she was just like, Sheena, she just kind of rallied me and she was like, come on, like, but it is one of those things where I had to be like, it's not really about you, he's going on this adventure, you can go over and see him, it's only for a year. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be, you know what I mean? If you really love each other, it'll work. So then I just got up and I went down, and but it was just one of those things where I was just looking at myself maniacally in the mirror, probably like Joaquin Phoenix in the fucking Joker with the eyelashes hanging off me, just like, where's me bronzer? Like, just,
oh my God,
unable.
So when did he go? Because he's obviously back now.
So this would have, what year was this? The end of 2017.
So he's back since the end of 2018.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. And yeah, it's all gone.
That's right. That's right in my head.
It's all going good.
Yeah, it's all going well. It was mad. Like, it was mad. It was, I feel like I'm just describing everything as mad. It's one of those, I think it really did make us stronger, and I think in the long run it actually helped me, because we were very close, but I kind of feel like I was losing, because I was so into him, I was probably losing a bit of independence.
Okay.
And him going away, it kind of made me be like, right, okay, you need to do stuff in your own time and just kind of get back to seeing your friends, working on yourself. Like, I was never as fit, I will say that. Sometimes I'm like, Cian, would you ever emigrate again so I can be in the gym 5 nights a week? Like, hateful, sorry Cian, if you're listening, I really love you. But like, I went and did a half marathon, like,
unreal.
Just, I was so committed and focused on everything that I was doing, and then I think it just made having him back even better. And as I said, we're way closer now, and like, I got a 2 week holiday out of it as well, so
unreal. The dream. Okay, Fionnuala, your no laughing matter moment in life.
Oh, gotta be the redundancy, I would say. So
okay,
I was made redundant the first time in early 2017, and then I was made redundant again this year in April 2019. So I've been made redundant twice,
and
before the age of 24.
That's tough.
Yeah,
it is tough going.
So I suppose it was one of those things where, again, it probably, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. Like, it was, I remember being on the bus and getting the email to be like, can you come for a meeting? And I text Cian, I was like, I'm getting made redundant again. And he was like, no, like, just go in and just see, you never know, like, it could be anything. And I was like, I'm telling you right now. And we all went for pints and like cheese toasties after, we were a small enough team. And I remember as well, for whatever reason, I had like transferred money out of my account into my Revolut, but then couldn't get access to my Revolut or something. So I had ordered pints and a toastie, and I couldn't, and they didn't take card or whatever, and I didn't have enough money in my account to take it out of the ATM. And I was like, I can't afford this, I have to borrow money, this is where it starts, what am I going to do? Like, I'm living in Dublin, am I going to have to move back to Cork? What's that going to mean for my career and like my relationship, my friends? Like, I've built a new life up here. And especially the second time around, at least the first time, I feel like I kind of had options. And I obviously did, because I found another job, really enjoyed it working with Daily Edge. And I kind of established my voice as a writer and as just a general person, I think. And to kind of have it all taken away before it was truly realised was just really hard. And as I said, to be kind of out in the door then and be like, where next? What do I do next? Like, where is going to have me? It was tough. And I just remember having the conversation with my mom as well, where I said to her, I was like, look, I've been made redundant again. And she was like, what? And she couldn't believe it. She was like,
how?
It doesn't make any sense. But again, I will say I'm very lucky that I had a bit of savings that allowed me to take some time off after. I think I took like maybe 3 weeks and I just did nothing. And I think it was kind of a good and bad thing, because I wallowed.
Yeah.
I wallowed and I needed the wallowing, but then it also, I think when you're idle and you have that time again, I was just going manic, thinking like, what am I going to do? Like, what is going to happen to me now? And as you know yourself, when you're in the sphere of media, like, we were a small team, even beyond me being on the internet doing things, people knew us all and were familiar with Daily Edge and everyone's kind of individual writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember on Twitter when it was like announced that day and I'd gone home to Cork and just seeing it, and I wasn't looking at anything at all, but like typical Irish mammy was like kind of keeping an eye and kind of giving me tidbits. And I just felt, I felt less alone then, because I knew there are people out there. But I suppose there is also that thing of people looking at you being like, well, what is she going to do next? And again, but I think that's you, that's me in my own head thinking.
Yeah.
That other people are thinking.
People aren't
about
actually,
me, but they're
people
not.
Actually don't
this
care about you.
No.
This
not.
Is what my dad always says. No one gives a fuck about
irrelevant.
You.
You're irrelevant, darling.
No, but it's so refreshing to think that, to go to yourself, actually, people have enough shit going on in their own lives.
Yeah.
They don't care what I'm at.
Yeah.
They don't care if I can't buy my toasty.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm like so freaked. Like just.
But 6 months on, how are you feeling?
Good. I mean, there still is, we were just talking about this, there still is that feeling of the unknown, and I kind of still don't have a clue what I'm doing, to be honest. Does anyone?
Does anyone?
Yeah.
Does anyone in media?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'd love to think, see myself in a really clearly defined role, and I don't know if I've found it yet, but I think I'll get there. I don't think I'm that far off, and I know that I work hard, and I really like what I do, and I put my all into what I have a focus on, so I know it'll come good in the end. It's just kind of this moment where I'm just kind of swimming. Just swimming. Keep doing swimming. A dory on it, yeah.
Keep on swimming.
That's it.
Okay, Fionnuala. The person you always laugh with.
Oh, God. There's way too many to choose from, but I have three written down. So I have Bree Brown, who I do bandwagons with. We went to college together and we're just two absolutely demented people. Like, we're the kind of best friends that we probably bring out the best and the worst in each other. Like, if we ever rouse, we have blazing rouse. But then I just remember we were only kind of reminiscing on this the other day. We went to Disneyland last year, and we went to Paris. I won these like flights in a competition, so we went to Paris, and I was looking back at all the videos of us in like the kind of the Dodgem cars in Disneyland, and I was just like, skirt skirt in my whip, like, and all these children around us, and Bree was like, Fionnuala, please stop. And we booked this Airbnb as well, and I remember in the description it was like many flights of stairs, like no, there's no lift or something, and I was like, all right, yeah, that's fine. And there was like 7 flights of stairs up the apartment, so you'd be coming in half cut, and she just has Instagram videos of me being like, come this way guys, and I'm just like trying to like, and as the video goes on I'm just getting more and more out of breath as I scale these stairs. We just always have a lot of fun, and I think the podcast has given us a really good opportunity to just hang out and just have a laugh with each other. Like, she can be so demented and so like, we're very different in that we kind of compliment each other. Like, she's very very brave, not afraid of asking for what she wants, and sometimes I'm like, Bree, oh my God, like cringing at her, and then she gets it, and I'm like, you are just a, like, you're a wizard, like, you're oh, but she's just demented, totally demented, but
so
I love her.
She's number one.
She's number one. I have Keane McCarthy, who's my GBF, my gay best friend from home. We've been friends since like junior and friends, and my first memory of him is we were getting some kind of injections, and he had to get more than other people for some reason. I can't remember, or maybe he was just exaggerating, you know, as children do. And he was saying he had to get 4, and he was just being such a whinge bag. And then I had to get 2, and I was like being like pure proud and strong, coming out and like rubbing it in his face. But he's just been one of those people who's been with me through everything in terms of like bad relationships, and just he's always been there, and I can always pick up the phone and we'll have a conversation, and then we might not talk for weeks, and then we'll send each other like a meme, or we'll send each other the video of, do you know those Scottish girls, and she's like, I'm gonna sing Shea Lloyd by Shea Lloyd. We'll just send each other that, and it's like, okay, we just have very similar senses of humor, and I think that always works. I love him to bits. He's wicked funny. Like, do you know those kind of ones where it's like, you shouldn't have said that, you're so bold, but like, what was it we were doing the other night home that isn't funny at all? Like, one of the girls had left the table, and we all just started putting salt in her wine, and we were like, trying to see if she'd notice. Yeah, we're hateful, like, and we were like, that's, it wasn't horrendous. Funny at all, it's so childish, and we were all like, ah, like shrieking in the corner, and everyone in the restaurant being like, will these people be removed please? Like, no need.
Okay, and your third person,
it has to be my boyfriend.
Your fella.
My fella. Yeah, again, we just have like weird.
He's keen as well.
Yeah, two keens.
Okay.
Like, it's so funny at the start of the relationships when you're trying to be really careful, and like you've really like kind of tame sense of humor, and then you're 3 years in and you're just laughing about farting and stuff and just like totally tapped. But he always cheers me up. It doesn't matter. I feel like we're always just thinking about each other throughout the day, and we always see things and we're just whacking them onto each other, and just, what did we, like, we went away for the weekend there and we watched, we came in after the night out and we'd been drinking and we just put on a video of these people that we watch on YouTube going catfishing, like literally like noodling catfish, and they had to like wrestle them and all, and we were just like, like shrieking in the bed, and I was like, we're really not a normal couple, like, do you know what I mean? Like, we can't, I've just said it out loud, I was just going to say, we can never explain this to people, but it's just us.
Did it.
We just did it.
Okay, Fionnuala, a time where you had the last laugh.
This was a harder one for me because I always associate having the last laugh as being like successful in a career and having that kind of career milestone. And I don't, like, as I said, I don't think I've had it yet. And then again, maybe that's me being too in it and not.
I think you totally and completely underestimate how much you've done.
But I suppose this is the thing as well, when I look back on how I kind of made something out of nothing with Love Island and got a lot of TV work. I do a lot of regular bits there in the M now. I suppose that's amazing.
That is, like, see, you're, oh God, you are me. I can't even say you are me 3 years ago because I'm 27 now. You are me now still. And it's so hard to shake no matter how much you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
it never feels like enough for me.
Never. Like, I was a month into my 2FM gig and I was going, okay, what TV stuff can I get now? And I met someone in particular to ask for advice. And she was like, "There, and how long have you been doing the radio?" I was like, "A month." She was like, "Will you just do the radio? Stop freaking out about TV. Stop thinking about what's next. What? Okay, yeah, I'll be happy when. Yes, yeah. It's great to be in this now, but I'll be happy when I get the next gig. I'll be happy when I'm busier than Susie down the road." Yeah. Whatever it is, and you need to just slow down. And I need to listen to my own advice. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
But I suppose just in general, sometimes I feel like this is a bit morbid, but I feel like the last laugh for me is just the fact that I'm like still alive, just because like this sounds so ridiculous, but there was a lot of times where I would have just been like, what's the point? And just kind of questioning, what am I doing? Like, I feel like I've done everything. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you mean that in an actual serious way?
Yeah, like I definitely would have struggled a lot in college as well with like my mental health. And as I said, like, it's still a big thing on my mind where I'm like, what is the point? What am I doing here? What am I offering other people? So I suppose, and even like we talk about this weekend that I just had, or like last week, where maybe I wasn't in a great mindset and I was feeling like very, very low. And to just kind of wake up today and be able to do stuff like this and get up and eat Shreddies and go home, and I'm going to record the podcast with Breed later, just to have that and be like, there's been so many times where you felt like that and you're still here and you're still just fulfilling what it is you want to do, and it never got that bad. Like, you were like, you're fine. So I suppose that's kind of it for me, just because there have been so many times where I've been like shrug emoji,
properly low.
Yeah.
And the three people you mentioned a few minutes ago, the people you always laugh with, I've no doubt they played a massive part in keeping you on the straight and narrow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, Breed is tough love, but I need that tough love. Breed is like, go to therapy, go to a doctor, go see someone. Mm-hmm. Like, Kian is Kian is my escape from when all the noise outside. He's just there and he's consistent and he really loves me, and I don't know why. And then, as I said, Keane McCarthy, I'll pick up the phone at any time to talk about anything and he'll answer the call, which is, I'm so thankful for those people, and just my family as well. I suppose it's one of those things where, like, a moving away, it's just made me feel so grateful for that time spent at home and mm-hmm. being with family. And this is so cheesy, but just having that time and that rest, and they give me that time to breathe, and there's never any pressure, and they've never had any expectation or put any pressure on me right throughout school for exams, for anything. They just see me as me and they love me unconditionally. And it's lovely to see that when sometimes I'm up here being like, why don't people love me? Why don't you love me? Like, you know what I mean? It's good. And I'm there, just these anchors that I have that I can come back to when I'm spiraling.
I think that's my favorite answer ever on the podcast.
Really?
So thank you.
Oh, that was really, I'm like, oh, I'm a bit shakily.
I'm not surprised, but you delivered it beautifully.
Thank you.
Okay. Fionnuala Jones, if laughter wasn't the best medicine, what would be?
Culture popcorn.
What popcorn?
Kulchi popcorn.
What's kulchi?
When you pop the kernels on the pan. So you don't make like microwave popcorn. There is nothing like, because my dad used to make it for me when I was small. And I used to be like fascinated because obviously it's way different than just getting a bag, shoving it in the microwave. Like you have to get a pan, you have to get the oil, you have to watch it, make sure it doesn't burn. And then you get to salt it yourself or put whatever toppings you want on it. And now like I could easily eat kulchi popcorn like 5 nights a week for dinner. It's divine.
Is kulchi a brand or is it?
Oh no, it's my interpretation of, like, to be honest.
Oh, kulchi. Oh my God, I'm such a loser. Oh my God, I'm mortified.
Cooking it on the stovetop, like.
As in like C-U-L-C-H-Y.
Yeah,
kulchi.
What did you think?
I thought it was like the new kulchi popcorn. Like K-U-L-C-H-Y.
I mean, if anyone wants to get on to me, that's my brand.
Oh my God, I'm
so excited to announce this collaboration.
I can't believe, yeah, guys, I can't wait to show you my kulchi.
I always joke about it with Cian when Cian's like, is there any brand you'd love to like work with? And I'm like, Manhattan, 100%. One, like, this is, I'm putting it out, I'm manifesting it now, as Khloe Kardashian would say or something. Like, I,
you heard it here
desperately
first,
want to work with Manhattan.
Actually, they sent me peanut butter before. I'll see what email I got and I'll try and get you a contact.
I love it's one of those really impressive things you can make for people that they're like, oh my God, this tastes so nice. Like, it's obviously not bag popcorn. And you're like, yeah, I made that myself. Even though it's just you putting seeds in a pan. Like, you're not involved in the growing process or anything. It's just, but honestly, it just cures. I love salt, I think.
I'm obsessed with salt.
Just, I love using popcorn as a vehicle for salt.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Fionnuala, are you ready for your quick fire round?
Yes, but nervous again.
Okay, the movie you always laugh at.
Oh God, Ratatouille.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, cracker.
Okay, the actor /actress you always laughed at. Laugh at.
That I always laugh at. Oh, Anne Hathaway in Devil Wears Prada.
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Why?
Do you not have the like dislike for her?
Why? No. And a lot of people do and I don't get it.
Her and Anna Kendrick I can't deal with.
Anna Kendrick I understand. Anna Kendrick is like,
how has she gotten so far?
Do you know what I mean?
She's like, so annoying.
Every time she tweets I'm like, get off the phone.
Can't deal.
Yeah.
The book you laughed out loud at.
Oh, there's a book and I can't remember who wrote it, but it's called You'll Grow Out of It. And she was a writer for Amy Schumer in her show. It's so, so funny. Really, really good. You'll Grow Out of It. If anyone's looking for a book recommendation, it's very, very good.
Okay, the comedian you always laugh at.
The comedian I always laugh at. Oh, comedian I always laugh at. John Richardson.
Okay.
John Richardson on 8 out of 10 Castro's Countdown. But he did like a series as well, kind of going through his, like, would he ever find love or would he ever settle down? He did a load of different topics on like marriage and stuff, whatever. He's so funny. He's so dry. I love that kind of humor.
Yes.
Like really, really dry.
Okay. And finally, Fionnuala Jones, your worst joke.
My worst joke. Oh, what was the one that I think we might have said this on the podcast, but why? Oh, now I can't remember it. It's really bad.
Or your best joke.
Oh, I have it. Sorry.
Right.
What is ET short for?
What?
Because he's got little legs.
That is horrific.
It's so bad. But as a short person, I can appreciate it.
I think that's the worst one I've ever had. Fionnuala Jones, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on The Laughs of Your Life.
Thanks so much for having me. I had such a great time.
You too. Thank you for listening to The Laughs of Your Life. I hope you enjoyed it. If there's anyone you'd like to hear from, get in touch. Tweet me at Theron Garrahy. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, review, and all those other things. This podcast is recorded in Collaborative Studios.